This Week in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee, featuring New Heart, New Spirit, with Father Don Hying, Rector of St. Francis de Sales Seminary.
This Week in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee is brought to you by American Landscape.
And now, Father Don Hying.
Good morning and welcome to New Heart, New Spirit, your connection to life at St. Francis de Sales Seminary. I'm Father Don Hying, rector of the seminary and host of this half-hour program. We're always blessed to have interesting guests on our show, and if you've been listening to the show for a while, you know that to be the case. We try to cover on different topics and bring in personalities, seminarians' parents, professors here, people that support the seminary in different ways. And today we're blessed to have two leaders of a society in the Archdiocese called Roses for Our Lady. It's a group that's been around for 31 years, I believe, and its primary mission is to promote devotion to the Blessed Mother. And we know that true, authentic devotion to Mary will always lead us deeper to the heart of Christ, and the Mother always points us to the Son. So we're blessed to have Kurt Keitel and Ann Bender with us. Welcome, Kurt and Ann. Thank you for joining us today.
Good morning, Father.
You're here because you love the Church. You love the Blessed Mother. You are certainly passionate about vocations, and you want to share that faith with others around you. So maybe we could just start by talking a little bit about Roses for Our Lady, how it got started, where it got started. What was its original vision and mission? Kurt.
Roses for Our Lady, I would say, got its origins already back in the 1970s with the radio rosary apostolate of Father Thaddeus Brill. Father Brill was an archdiocesan priest who had a great love for the Blessed Mother, and they wanted to take the rosary to the airwaves. And so there was a core group from that radio rosary apostolate that decided that they wanted to bring Marian devotion throughout the Archdiocese of Milwaukee in an even greater way through rosary processions and holy hours. And so it was in 1980 that Roses for Our Lady was actually founded and incorporated in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee.
I remember coming to some of those events. I know there were like rosary rallies next door at what is now Cousins Center, certainly at the Marian Shrine, you know, at different places, and would attract huge crowds of people.
Yes, at the Marian Shrine, Roses for Our Lady has our big event, the biggest event of the year, which is the annual May crowning. But actually, the history of Marian devotion there goes way back to the 1940s. Mm-hmm. The Dominican Sisters of the Perpetual Rosary had always opened up their chapel to the laity, and during World War II, during the 40s, they would pray for peace, pray the rosary for peace. And when the chapel became too small for all of the people that they were spilling outside, that's when they decided to build the Marian Shrine. Mm-hmm. And so there had been rosary processions out throughout the shrine for many years. Mm-hmm. And then when Roses for Our Lady was founded, we began the May crownings there.
My mother said she remembered going there to pray the rosary during the war, and also just Sacred Heart devotions on Friday nights and Mother Perpetual Help devotions on Tuesday nights were just packed because everyone had somebody who had been drafted into the war, and everyone was praying for their safety and for the end of World War II. And you're the current president, which is a wonderful opportunity of service and a challenge as well. But how did you get involved in Roses, and what inspired you to say yes to this role of service?
Well, I have a heart for vocations, and when I learned about the Holy Hour for Vocations through the Catholic Herald and started coming, I just became a regular in the pew each month, and then you, Father Don, asked me if I could take on the consider praying about taking on the position of president, because Mary Dubchik, who had been the president for the past 7 years, I believe, was no longer able to fill that role. And so I did pray about it, and I looked to your example of leadership. You always say yes to everybody and everything, and I thought I should say yes to this as well. And so it was just this past January when the board met and the elections were held, and so I'm really very still new to this, and learning the ropes, I guess.
Certainly all of us owe a great debt of gratitude to Mary and to the board and the founding members, many of whom are still around. And they've been amazingly faithful to the mission of this organization all through its 30-year history. So you're the next chapter in a great chain of fidelity and of promotion of the Mother of God. Kurt, why would you say that devotion to the Blessed Mother is important for us as Catholics, as Christians? Somebody theoretically could say, I can just go directly to Jesus. Why do we need Mary? How would you articulate that?
I would say that we need Mary because that's how our Lord came into the world, through his mother. And I think Catholics have always known and understood that. As Jesus came into the world through his mother, and as he gave the world his mother when he was dying on the cross, we've always, always looked to her for her maternal intercession and love and care. And we take great comfort then in the motherly care, in the motherly prayers of Our Lady.
I know Pope John Paul II said often that reading St. Louis de Montfort's True Devotion to Mary was a moment of transformation for him in terms of his insight into her spiritual role, both in his life and the life of the Church. And certainly we see some of the principles of St. Louis at work and on full display in the activities of Roses for Our Lady, because he saw devotion to Mary, indeed consecration to her, as a perfect fulfillment of our baptismal vows. So in many ways, he prefaced the Second Vatican Council, which really calls all of us to holiness by virtue of our baptism. So any authentic devotion to the Mother of God will lead us to God in his Son, Jesus Christ. And she's the most perfect disciple. And as you said, she's the one through whom God entered into the world. And St. Louis would add, somehow she will have a role to play in, you know, the final consummation of all things, in the final coming of Jesus Christ at the end of history. So she is the woman of the apocalypse, our mother who prays for us and loves us. Anne, could you tell us a little bit of specific information about the May crowning? It's on a different weekend this year. It's on Mother's Day, which is appropriate, right? But what are some of the, what's the sequence of events? What's the time? What's the place?
The May crowning is always held at the Archdiocesan Marian Shrine on 68th and Stevenson. This year, it will be Sunday, May 8th, like you said, Mother's Day at 2 p.m. We begin with the crowning of the statue of Mary at the shrine, and that is done by one of the Roses for Our Lady board members, Mike Wyszynski. And then we have a first communicant who crowns our own Roses for Our Lady statue of Mary. And then that's followed by Eucharistic rosary procession throughout the neighborhood. And then we close with some remarks by you, and followed by benediction to close out the service. And, you know, we always pray for beautiful weather because with that, it guarantees a gorgeous opportunity for many, many people to join together to honor our Blessed Mother on this perfect day that, you know, all mothers deserve their honor, but she deserves it more than anyone, and without her, we are nothing. Mm-hmm. So we're very grateful to be able to have the opportunity to move it to that day this year.
So we encourage everyone to participate in this great event. It's a great way for us to grow closer to God and to show our faith in a public way as well. And you had mentioned the holy hours here at the seminary. Kurt, you've been an integral leader in those holy hours that we started in October of 2007 and have gone on in an unbroken chain of monthly hours of prayer for vocations for this archdiocese. Can you tell us a little bit about the format of that and its importance for us?
The holy hours have always been an important part of Roses for Our Lady, even from its very beginnings in 1980. We used to have regularly scheduled holy hours, but as the years went by and it was harder for priests to make a commitment and we found difficulties in obtaining a place, we didn't always have those holy hours. So as you mentioned, when we began in 2007 with the regularly scheduled holy hours, we decided to have them at the seminary and entitled it a holy hour for vocations. And these have been very well attended. We have exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, And we have prayers for vocations. We have a rosary specifically for vocations. We pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, and that is sung. And we have a pro-life prayer because many potential vocations to the priesthood are destroyed already within the womb. We conclude with a benediction. And people are always pleased when you are there to preach and give us a little idea as to how we can actually incorporate some of our belief into our daily life.
You know, here at the seminary, we're just convicted of the importance of prayer for vocations. And we know that there's thousands of people throughout the Archdiocese that are praying for our current seminarians, praying for more vocations to the priesthood, to religious life, to marriage. And it's a great reminder that we're called to be instruments of inspiration and invitation to the young people in our church, that part of the important mission of the church is to form the vocations of the young so that they find, take, and fully live their place in the mystical body of Christ. And so just as the rector here, I'm always grateful for the people that come to these holy hours so faithfully, because it's an important part of the spiritual support that keeps St. Francis de Sales Seminary alive, growing, and indeed flourishing. Some of the other events and activities of Roses for Our Lady, I know you march in the Festa Italiana Mass, which is this year, Sunday, July 17th. So you carry a statue of the Blessed Mother in procession, right?
Right.
And pray the rosary, hand out rosaries, and in great Italian fashion have flowers on the vada and carry our Blessed Lady in procession, as do many other groups that day, right?
Yes, the Mass is on the Summerfest grounds at the amphitheater, and there are many Italian religious societies with their statues and their vadas. We are the only non-Italian one, but we have been invited since 1983 to participate in Festa Italiana, and we consider that a great honor. After the Mass is when the procession begins, and it's a Eucharistic procession from one end of the grounds to the other, where they conclude with benediction. Mm-hmm. But along the way, we have the opportunity not only to pray the rosary, but to hand out, to distribute many blessed rosaries. Mm-hmm. And so that's another way we can evangelize and make known our mission to Jesus through Mary.
And also, there's a monthly prayer request for priests. It's an international lay apostolate, and it was established here in Milwaukee in September of 2010. It's an important way just to support priests, right? And I assume that was partially the fruit of the International Year of the Priest, and just a way to show spiritual support for our priests in a moment, we must say, of great challenge in the church, right? And
right. Priests are always in need of our prayer, I think, especially at this time in history in our church. The devil has found that that's the way to attack our faith and is going full force after them. So the best way that we can support the priests in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee is through our prayer. You know, we can do nothing, but God can do everything. So if we put our trust in him and put our priests in, hold them in our hearts and our prayers, God will be able to keep everything going and keep the spirits of our priests lifted high so that they can continue their mission. Mm-hmm. So it's just a calendar format. It actually has been in existence in the United States for many years. It began in Boston through the Sarah Group, and I kind of took on all of their information and the experience that they've had so that I could begin one here in Milwaukee. So it's just getting on the website, Monthly Prayer Requests for Priests Milwaukee, and print out the monthly calendars and ask you to hold every priest in the Archdiocese in prayer on the day that his name is listed.
You just go through it alphabetically. Right,
alphabetical order through the Archdiocesan directory. So,
does everybody get one day a year? Is that pretty much equivalent?
I think some priests may get 2 days during the year as it gets pretty close towards the end. But mm-hmm. Pope Benedict is listed at least once a month, usually on a Marian feast day. This month he actually gets 2 days because his birthday is April 16th. Archbishop Listecki is always listed the first day of the month unless Pope Benedict overrides him, like on the Feast of Mary, Mother of God. And so then, yes, just every other diocesan priest is listed in alphabetical order.
It's just all of this just reminds us of the importance of prayer and individual and communal prayer, that that spiritual force is what supports our activity. And if we get away from that as the base, then it simply becomes frenzied activity without any root in the spiritual life. So Roses for Our Lady certainly strives to hold that base of prayer together for us here at the seminary and for people throughout the Archdiocese who seek a deeper relationship with Christ through His Blessed Mother. We're going to take a short break. You're listening to New Heart, New Spirit, Your Connection to Life here at St. Francis de Sales Seminary. We'll be right back.
Warm summer sun, backyard gatherings, lush landscaping. Do you dream of turning your ordinary yard into a beautiful outdoor living space? American Landscape can make that dream happen. Serving Southeast Wisconsin since 1973 and family-owned, American Landscape can provide a variety of landscape services by certified professionals. For more information, go to relevantradiomilwaukee.com, keyword landscape. That's keyword landscape. American Landscape, a proud business supporter of Relevant Radio.
Get drenched, get soaked, get wet at the Country Springs Hotel. Take a big ride down that water slide. Triple Dog Dare in the Barrel Roll River, gonna meet you on the other side. There's so many things about Country Springs. Oh, oh, so much fun that it brings. Get drenched, get soaked, get wet at the Country Springs Hotel.
Join us at Wildflowers Restaurant at the Country Springs Hotel in Pewaukee for our fabulous all-you-can-eat beer-battered codfish fry. And now through the end of Lent, you'll receive a free pass to the Springs Water Park at the Country Springs Hotel when you purchase two adult fish fry or dinner entrees. Offer available Friday nights only through April 22nd. Visit CountrySpringsHotel.com for more information.
Get drenched, get soaked, get wet at the Country Springs Hotel.
So, Becky, Steve and I really need to replace our carpet this year. Between the kids and the dog, it's in tough shape. Your carpet still looks beautiful, even after all these years. What's your secret?
We really did our research, knowing we wanted a carpet that would withstand a small army and still look great. We found the best quality for our money at the Floor Mart in Brookfield. The installers were amazing, and the Floor Mart's lifetime warranty can't be beat.
Great! Guess Steve and I will be heading to the Floor Mart this weekend.
Did you know that you can really afford the best? At the Floor Mart you can. Jim Getter, longtime Relevant Radio supporter and owner of the Floor Mart, invites you to stop in and see the Floor Mart difference. And just in time for spring, take advantage of the Floor Mart Spring Fix-Up Sale, where you can save on everything throughout the store, including their beautiful selection of custom-made cabinets and countertops. Visit their new Brookfield location just north of Burleigh on 124th Street or on the web at thefloormart.com. The Floor Mart, affordable quality guaranteed.
New heart, new spirit on Relevant Radio. Once again, Father Don Hyatt.
Welcome back to New Heart, New Spirit, your connection to life here at St. Francis de Sales Seminary in Milwaukee. We're currently talking with Kurt Keitel and Ann Bender, who are leaders of a group called Roses for Our Lady. And we've been talking about what this wonderful group does throughout the Archdiocese, and specifically for the seminary and for vocations. It's a group that its mission is to support devotion to the Mother of God and to lead all people closer to her Son, Jesus Christ. And I was thinking, just to make this a little more personal, I asked both Kurt and Ann to think of a way that the Blessed Mother has been operative in their lives, perhaps a personal experience that has led them to a deeper conviction of God's love for them, and that holds them in this very generous commitment to service as leaders of Roses for Our Lady. So, Kurt, I know the Blessed Mother means very much to you. Can you just wax eloquent on that for a few minutes for us?
Sure, Father. The Blessed Mother has always been important in my life. And I think one of the reasons for that might have been that my own birthday is on the Feast of the Assumption of Our Lady. And I think that Our Lady has always looked down on me in a very special way because of that. And I really see myself as a son of Our Lady. And I serve her, and I want to make her son more well known throughout the world. And with that great love that I have for the Blessed Mother, I have internalized that in terms of my own personal devotion. Praying the rosary on a daily basis is very important to me. The wearing of the scapular is. When I was already in grade school and high school, I began reading books about the Blessed Mother and the Marian apparitions at Guadalupe and Fatima in Lourdes, and always saw there that that constant gospel message of Our Lady drawing us back to her Son, of the need for prayer and for penance. And then in addition to that, I was attending the Mother Perpetual Help devotions that as well helped to increase my Marian spirituality. And then that's what drew me to make the Montfortian consecration to the Blessed Virgin Mary. So in my own life, too, as I entered the Franciscans, and I'm currently a secular Franciscan, I've found that the Franciscan spirituality is also very Marian, and I found great comfort with that. I do pray the Angelus on a regular basis. That's been promoted by the Franciscans. And then also in the Franciscan spirituality, we have the Seven Joys of Mary. And that's it's a Franciscan rosary that looks to the joys of Mary in a similar way that the regular Dominican rosary focuses on the different mysteries as well. With that internalized spirituality, I guess, then that's what helps me to live a Marian lifestyle through imitating the virtues and the qualities of Mary. And I try to be a faithful, obedient child of God, just as Mary was obedient and was faithful. And I try to witness Christ to others as Our Lady brought Christ into the world. So for me, that's what Marian spirituality is.
Really, the Immaculate Heart of Mary is the heart of the perfect disciple. So Mary leads us to perfect discipleship. And we see in her the radical obedience, the total availability to God's will, her profound participation in the Paschal Mystery. I mean, her heart leads us to Christ. And all the great saints of the Catholic Church have had a tremendous devotion to her. And we certainly can't go wrong by following their example. And I know your spiritual fire burns bright, and anything you want to share with us that's personal and inspirational.
I grew up in a large family, and the rosary was always a very big part of our daily life. I did not grow up in Milwaukee with Father Thaddeus Brill's rosary on the radio, but we did have a version up in Manitowoc, and every day at 6:15, the rosary was on the radio. Our family would gather in the kitchen, drop whatever we were doing, and it was time for the rosary. And so I learned, you know, from a very small child, from my very early years, that Mary is the one you turn to in every need that you might have, in any joy that you have, you know, to take it all to her, and she will carry it to her Son. And so, you know, that's something that I've tried to keep in my heart always. My sisters and I remain very close, and we still pray a family rosary together. We get together once a month to pray the rosary and visit with each other. And Roses for Our Lady to me is just my family rosary multiplied many times with many people, and we are all family of God. So I really enjoy being able to come together for the holy hours and for the May crowning, and, you know, looking forward to many new experiences with this organization in the years to come, as we always keep Mary in the forefront of our hearts and our minds.
Pope John Paul II gave an amazing address, I believe it was to the papal household at the end of a particular calendar year. And he was talking about different principles within the church based on New Testament figures. So he was talking about the Pauline principle as kind of the missionary nature of the church, the proclamation of the word, as Paul did so well. And then the Petrine principle, the hierarchical nature of the church, the leadership of the papacy and of the bishops, the service of the priesthood. And then he talked about the Joannine principle as kind of the mystical, prayerful, spiritual principle, which is outlined by St. John the Evangelist, you know, the one who was closest to Jesus at the Last Supper, the one who remained faithful at the foot of the cross. But he went on to say that all those principles are really built on, based on the Marian principle of obedience, receptivity. And so Blessed Virgin is really the white dawn announcing the coming of Christ. And it's her obedience on which the whole Christ event is built, and those other principles are based. And so the Pope's point was that church is essentially Marian, and that, you know, Mary is the mother of Christ, but also the mother of his body, the church. And so it was with a very specific theological intent that the Council Fathers at Vatican II added as a chapter to the Constitution on the Church, Lumen Gentium, a chapter on the Blessed Mother as the mother of the Church, who walks with us through the challenges of human history onto the kingdom of God. And we're grateful for her motherly protection and intercession. Whenever somebody asks me, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? I say yes. And I respond and say, do you have a personal relationship with his mother? Because I think both of those are key. So we thank both you, Kurt, and Anne for being on the show today, and more importantly, for the wonderful work and service that you do. Both of you are beacons of faith, hope, love, and light for many. And so we thank you for all that you do. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Father.
Just a couple of updates. The Vocations Office of the Archdiocese and St. Francis de Sales Seminary will again sponsor annual summer camps for young men. Father Peter Berger is the new vocations director, and he's approaching his new responsibilities with excitement. We thank Father Jim Lobaz for his faithful 6 years of serving in that role as vocations director. But Camp Jeremiah is for young men entering the 6th, the 7th, or the 8th grades in the fall of 2011. And it will run here at the seminary, the camp, from Wednesday, June 22nd to Friday, June 24th. The other camp, entitled Is It I, Lord, is for high school young men, and it runs from Sunday, June 26th to Wednesday, June 29th. Both camps are held here. There's group activities, prayer, presentations, talks, recreation, and a lot of fun. So for more information and sign-up sheets, visit www.thinkpriest.org. We'd welcome any young man that's interested in coming here, and I think this place sells itself, and it certainly plants seeds in young hearts, that even if not everyone that comes is ultimately a priest, everyone that comes is a child of God and has a vocation within the church. Also, save the date for our golf outing. It's Monday, July 25th at Triple I Country Club. Again, we pray for great weather and a great turnout. So for more information, go to www.sfs.edu/golf. And we'd love to have you be with us. It's our second most significant fundraiser of the year, and we certainly rely on its success for the function of the seminary throughout the year. Contact information for Roses is at http://rosesforourlady.weebly.com. Hopefully you got all that.
You could just type in rosesforourlady.weebly.com.
And you'll get it.
W-E-E-B-L-Y.com.
Great.
rosesforourlady.weebly.com.
And there's a lot of opportunities. So we'd love to have you join us as a member. Its commitment is not overwhelming, but significant. And we just ask that you participate in the events and pray the rosary and be a true child of God the Father and of the Blessed Mother. Tomorrow is the ordination to the transitional diaconate for four of our seminarians. Ryan Proust, Shamid Blanco, Juan Manuel Camacho, and Brad Krawczyk will be ordained to the transitional diaconate at a 10 a.m. Mass at St. John's Cathedral, celebrated by our very own Archbishop Listecki. Please pray for them. Transitional diaconate is significant. It's where they make their vow of celibacy, commit themselves to pray the Liturgy of the Hours for the rest of their life, and lay their lives down in service to the church in preparation for a priesthood next year. All of you are welcome to this Mass, and we're filled with just great joy and gratitude that God continues to call some wonderful young men to his holy service. Please join us tomorrow, 10 a.m., St. John's Cathedral.
This Week in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee is brought to you by American Landscape.
To contact Father Hying, log on to relevantradiomilwaukee.com, keyword seminary. And be sure to join us next time for This Week in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee, featuring New Heart, New Spirit, on Relevant Radio, 100.1 FM.